Welcome to And for Other Things. I'm Andy Aplikowski. It was the beginning of politics in Minnesota this week with precinct caucuses on Tuesday night. Precinct caucuses is where you're able to get together with your neighbors to discuss candidates, issues, vote in a gubernatorial straw poll, and elect delegates to local conventions. Results for the caucuses were as follows. Democrats, after 2 days of counting, still only have 97% reported, but total votes was just over 33,000. Tim Walz has 30%, Rebecca Otto just under 20%, Aaron Murphy at 13.5%, Uncommitted for 13%, Chris Coleman at 12%, Tina Liebling at 6%, Paul Thissen at 4.6%, and about 2/3 of 1% were other. On the Republican side, just under 11,000 votes were cast. Jeff Johnson had 45%, Undecided was at 15%, Keith Downey at 14%, Phil Parrish at 12%, and Mary Giuliani Stevens had 11%. The following interview with Keith Downey was recorded on the afternoon of Thursday, February 8th, 2018. Joining me now is Keith Downey, the former party chair and two-term state rep. Welcome, Keith. How you doing? Tell us who you are and why you're running.
Well, Andy, thank you very much for having me on, and congrats for launching your podcast. It's a pleasure. So, yeah, for people who don't know me, I spent 23 years in business, 4 years in the state house, and then 4 years as the party chair. And for all of those years, I was really focused on improving things and reforming operations and improving productivity and the like. And I brought a number of substantial reforms to the legislature when I was there, for cutting spending 15% and reducing taxes and reshaping the bureaucracy and making it more effective. And then also at the state party, I came in to really do an outside job, a bit of a turnaround there. We had some success. We cut our spending by about 50%, our base spending, and our debt service by 63%. We started winning some elections again. So at the end of all that, I decided to jump in for the governor's race and try and bring that kind of a perspective, those kinds of ideas to the table as part of the race.
Well, good. So if you are elected, what are your top two or three priorities as governor?
Well, job one is to improve Minnesota's competitiveness, and we just had a substantial tax relief passed in Washington, D.C., which on the Minnesota front is going to benefit businesses and individuals, but at the same time, it's going to make Minnesota's tax climate stick out like a sore thumb even more. So I would really like to substantially reduce the taxes in Minnesota, all kinds of different taxes. But at state level, you can't cut taxes unless you're willing to cut spending. And so I have taken the proposal that I had in the legislature to reduce state spending 15%, and I have committed as part of my governor run to do the same in my first term. And I would mention that if you cut state spending 15%, that is a $7 billion biennial opportunity for tax relief, which means you can literally get rid of the estate tax, the corporate tax, the statewide business property tax. You can do across-the-board income tax rate relief. You can do substantial, very targeted small business pass-through tax relief. And you could actually also get rid of the $2 billion tax increase that the Democrats passed back in 2013. Doing that while attacking regulations and reducing the regulatory state here in Minnesota, things like buffer laws and the ditch mowing regulations and the onerous review processes for forming businesses and getting environmental reviews done here. You take care of all that, and Minnesota's economy is going to take off and will be part of what's happening nationally. So if I had to pick a big two, it would be competitiveness with the kind of impetus or the catalyst of reductions in state spending to make it happen. I also have a strong proposal called Healthy Minnesota to really reduce and improve the healthcare, health insurance situation here, and a proposal for vouchers in our schools, those schools that are failing, for parents to be able to send their kids to the school of their choice, and a very strong safety and security plan. So we've been very heavy on issues and policy coming out of the gates here. I think that's important as a candidate, but you know, if I had to give you the top couple, it would be our competitiveness and state spending.
Okay. During the intro for this, I went over the specifics of the straw poll about the results and who got what. Overall, Republicans had just under 11,000 people show up. What's your reaction to your performance and then overall for the party as a on the Republican side.
Yeah, well, Jeff Johnson obviously won by a good margin. I was second among the candidates. Interestingly, not only was turnout quite low, but the number of undecideds was very high. I don't know that I've ever seen undecideds at that level, and I think that's a factor of, you know, a combination of factors. Tim Pawlenty, you know, kind of hanging out there, people wondering what he might do. Just the nature of the race and the candidates and people maybe not having really tuned in just yet. So I have said all along that I felt this race was wide open. It still feels to me like it's wide open. I think with Matt Dean dropping out and endorsing Jeff Johnson, I think there was an opportunity perhaps in the Johnson campaign's mind that they could kind of lock this thing down if they could get 55, 60, 65%. But that didn't happen, and there were a lot of undecideds out there. And you know, go back 4 years, and Jeff Johnson himself finished third with 15% and still went on to win the endorsement. So it's an important night, caucus night. It's an important night for the party. The straw poll is certainly meaningful, but it is also certainly not predictive. And so we feel we're still in a strong position. We've been running a statewide race, trying to build a capability to win a statewide campaign, not just narrow cast to the Republican base. That's important. We're abiding by the endorsement, so we're gunning for the endorsement just like everybody else. But we also realize that if you're going to go the distance and win statewide, you have to get your message out. You have to appeal to people outside the party. And we launched our Team Minnesota initiative last fall, 16 coalitions that we are going to be building across the state to get our message out. And we're emphasizing that now again, now that the caucuses are over. That's a big emphasis for us. So, you know what? We feel the race is wide open. We've been building a campaign to win in November, and that's what we're sticking with.
So you are going to abide still?
Oh yeah, I had said that from the beginning. Okay. And you know, people try and plant rumors about various things. So I remember somebody telling me that they had heard I had said something about not abiding. That is not true. That has been my commitment all along.
Okay. And then you mentioned Pawlenty. That was one of my other things. Of do you think he's going to go for the endorsement? And if he does, will he abide, or do you think he's going to go to a primary?
I'm not going to speculate on any of that. You know, it's a free country. If he wants to get in the race, you know, he's welcome, and it'll, I think, enhance the debate and probably the attention that is actually paid to the race and frankly, to the other candidates as well as part of that. You know, if he does or if he doesn't, we're running the same campaign in the same race. I said at the beginning, part of my decision making and getting in the race is that we needed to be bold, and that we needed a candidate who's going to go out and tell people exactly what they thought, exactly what they do, and give them the confidence that the person believed in what they believe enough that they would put it out there during the campaign, and then have the confidence as a result that this person getting in as governor, myself, would actually, you know, do what they said. And I think that is so important in this race. So we're going to be bold. We're going to tell like it is. We're going to get out in front of the people of Minnesota, and they're going to have confidence that if I'm the governor, that I'll do exactly what I told them I would.
You don't have to answer this, but I'm going to ask you, since you were the party chair for the last governor's race in 2014 and saw how the prolonged nomination through the primary ended up costing us 2 or 3 months, which could have possibly given Jeff Johnson enough to get over the line. Do you think it's risky for someone like Pawlenty to get in so late and kind of almost force a primary when the party could coalesce around one of the candidates that had already been running for the endorsement? And again, you don't have to answer that. You can say pass if you want, but you're in a unique perspective of being on the inside of that to see how critical time is in an election like this.
Well, I guess two answers, Andy. And the first is, I believe firmly, I am, you know, abiding by the endorsement, not just because it's the party's process, and I've respected that. Even when I ran against an 18-year incumbent Republican in my first election, I won the endorsement. I went through that process and won it on caucus night by getting my delegates elected. And so I've always respected the process. I think it's the right thing. And for this election specifically, I think it's the path to victory. I think it's how we win, to come together behind our candidate coming out of the endorsing convention and run straight to the general. I will tell you, the second part of the answer is, 4 years ago, it was very, very different. People don't remember, but when I came in, the candidate field in April of 2013, the candidate field was already coalescing. The party was in such horrible position that people were talking about whether it should file bankruptcy or whether a new party should be started. And the party was just in such a weakened state at the time I came in, that the dynamic was very, very different. The dynamic this time is that the party is much more stable. We have the Republican National Committee committed to helping with our ground game here. The outside groups are lining up to support the governor's race. And so I think 4 years ago, you know, could you argue with certain people's decisions about running in the primary when they made their decision to get in the race and the party was so weak and frankly, perhaps in their mind, even a detriment to their campaigns as compared to today, where I think, you know, things are much more aligned. The party is that just so much stronger going into this campaign. The national focus and the outside groups being aligned, I think the primary this year is even more of a distraction, and frankly, I think even less likely to succeed. I just think things are in a much stronger position today behind our endorsed candidate.
The fundraising reports in Minnesota can be kind of confusing and easy to cherry pick for some time. You know, the previous year for this one ended on December 31st. You don't report until January 31st. So there's kind of that 1 month where people assume nothing happened. And you take that end of the year report and everyone tries to twist it to suit them or against their neighbors. But what I like to ask is, how was your January 2018 fundraising been? Have you stayed on pace to keep increasing that money so that, you know, your next report would seem good, or you could release a number before conventions? You don't have to give me totals, but how is your fundraising going since the beginning of the year?
Well, we're largely on plan with our fundraising. You know, I've only been in the race 5 months, well, 6 months now. I know there's much comparison to the Democrats' numbers, and many of them had, you know, sizable bankrolls to roll into their governor campaign, and a couple of them have been in the race for 15 months. And so, you know, I felt like if we could get on a $300,000 to $400,000 fundraising pace, you know, so that you could have enough resources to compete for the endorsement and enough to come out of the endorsement in a solid position, that would be what we need on the Republican side. And so, you know, we feel good about our fundraising clip. I believe it's hard to do an exact apples to apples comparison, but in the 5 months that I was in the race, I believe was roughly tied, very close to what Jeff Johnson raised over the same 5 month period. So we felt good about that. There's an ebb and flow to everything. Obviously, we're very focused on precinct caucuses the last month. And now, you know, the statewide precinct caucus effort is over and we rotate into BPOU conventions, but there's more time, a little more clarity to the race coming out of caucuses. And so fundraising comes to the front and center a little bit more as well. So, you know, overall, we have a job to do to raise enough money to run a credible endorsement race. Overall, we have a job to do to raise enough money to run the entire campaign. And I feel like we're in a decent spot to do that on the Republican side, with every candidate agreeing to abide by the endorsement so far. A lot of the donors wait to see who that candidate is going to be. So it's a little different than on the Democrat side, but I feel comfortable with where we're at.
And on the Democrat race, who do you think their candidate's going to be? And if you could choose who you could run against, who would that be and why?
Oh, goodness, it's hard to speculate there. I was surprised, actually. I thought Lori Swanson would get in the race and be one of their stronger, if not the strongest, candidate for them within their process and also in the general. It sure appears that Tim Walz is making a strong bid. But any candidate on the Democrat side is going to have to run through that uber-progressive gauntlet in their convention. And I I'm not sure how they produce a candidate out of their endorsing convention that somehow fits the mainstream of Minnesota. They are going to have to, all of them, tack so hard to the left and take very extreme positions in order to prevail in their endorsement and primary process that I think they're going to have a hard time with the general election, running on that kind of a platform and those kinds of issues. So I feel like the fundamentals of the race are lined up pretty well for us. Not only are the Democrats going to be running hard left to satisfy their base, but I think we've got a track record coming out of Washington, D.C. with tax relief and regulatory relief and stronger national security, greater strength on border security and safety on the streets at home, and hopefully some progress on health care as well, that we'll be able to run strong on an agenda that is just a fundamentally mainstream American, mainstream Minnesota agenda. We'll be running to lead Minnesota, and the Democrats are going to be running to lead the resistance against an agenda that just makes all the sense in the world for the families and people in Minnesota. So I feel like the fundamentals are teeing up pretty well for us.
And that was one of my, leading into my last question is what are you hearing on the campaign trail from it as you're talking to Republican delegates and donors? What are they looking for, and not only in a candidate, but also that they want to see us do after the election once people get sworn in?
I'll tell you, Andy, I outlined a number of my policy provisions, and we have been stronger on those things than our Republican competitors. I have much more detail and concrete proposals, and that's part of my desire to get into this race and just tell it like it is and tell the people of Minnesota what we're going to do and convince them and show them that we are on their side and that these are the right solutions for the future of our state. And that's all important. But in my opinion, policies and everything important, the agenda that we get to run on important. I still think the essence of this election is the carryover from 2016, where people are sick and tired of politics as usual. They don't have any confidence in the political class or government. They sense that it's rigged, that they're on the outside looking in, and they want somebody who is going to be straight with them and be bold and who, frankly, has the fight to go down to St. Paul and take on the entrenched interests for them, to really fight for them and to be on their side. And in my mind, that is the essence of this election. And so whoever gets out in front of the people in Minnesota and best convinces them of that fact, I think that's who wins. And that's the kind of campaign we're running. That's the kind of candidate I would like to be. That's the kind of governor I would like to be. And I feel like that's really resonating with people out there, and that you know, suits us well and makes us strong for the general election.
Well, Keith Downey, thank you for the time. We're getting a little long on here. I said only 10 minutes. So how can people find out more about you or get in touch with you if they want to help out on your campaign?
Well, as you might imagine, we're on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram even, so all the social media channels. Our website is downeyforgovernor.com. You can reach out to us. You can join our Team Minnesota initiative. You can sign up for our emails and the like and get in touch with the campaign there. So downeyforgovernor.com. And thank you very much, Andy. I appreciate the chance to be on.
Thank you, Keith. Good luck. You can find a link to Keith Downey's website on the post for this episode on andforotherthings.com. Stay tuned for more interviews and reactions to the Republican gubernatorial endorsement. If you or someone you know is running for office and would like to appear on And For Other Things, go to andforotherthings.com to find my contact information. You've been listening to And For Other Things, a podcast by Andy Aplikowski, and don't forget to subscribe via iTunes. God bless.